Title: Low-End Contrast Between A and B Sections Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most important My Drop Finally Feels Huge techniques in drum and bass, and it's beginner-friendly. Low-End Contrast Between Your A and B Sections. And just so we're clear, we're not doing the lazy version of contrast, where B is just louder. We're doing the good version, where B feels heavier because it's denser, more textured, and more exciting in the low mids, while your sub stays reliable and your mix stays clean. By the end, you'll have a simple 32-bar drop, 16 bars of A, 16 bars of B. Same groove, same world, but B hits like a truck. Let's build it. First, quick setup. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Make a simple drum loop. Don't overthink it. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. If you've got a break you like, throw it in quietly underneath, but keep the main kick and snare clear. Now create a few tracks. SUB track, MIDI. A bass track, MIDI, for your mid or res layer. And then a bass bus, which is just an audio track you'll route both into, or you can group them. Either way, we want a single place to control the overall bass energy. Optional, a drum bus, but not required. Cool. Now we build the foundation. A dependable sub. Go to the SUB track and load operator. Operator is perfect for clean subs because it can be stable and boring in the best way. In operator, set oscillator A to a sine wave. Set voices to 1. Start the level around minus 12 dB so you're not instantly overloading the master. Now write a simple rolling sub pattern. Keep the notes fairly short. Think of it like a conversation with the drums. Hit on the downbeat, then little answers before or after the snare. And here's the key. The sub should feel consistent. We're not trying to impress anyone with the sub's personality. The sub is the anchor. Now add a small device chain on the SUB track. First, EQ 8. Do not high pass your sub. Just don't. If it feels muddy, you can do a gentle dip around 200 to 300 HE, because true sub doesn't need to live there. Then add saturator. Drive just 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip on. This is not make it disgusting. This is add a tiny hint of harmonics so the sub reads on smaller speakers. Then utility. Set width to 0% so the sub is mono. Always. Gain stage so it feels solid but not insane. Checkpoint moment. If your sub feels like it's wobbling in volume or randomly jumping out on some notes, simplify the MIDI, shorten notes a bit, and make sure you're not accidentally stacking overlapping notes. You want dependable. Now we build the mid-bass layer, because this is where most of our versus B contrast will live. On the bass track, load waveatable. Pick something simple like basic shapes and lean sawish or squarish. Add a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices, but keep it controlled. The more unison and detune you add, the more likely you are to create facey low end that disappears in mono. We'll check that later. Add a low pass filter, LP24, and a small amount of drive if you like. Give it just enough movement to feel alive. Now the important part, device chain on the bass track. First, EQ 8 before distortion. High pass this layer somewhere around 70 to 90 HE. This is critical. This is the line in the sand. Sub lives below, mid bass lives above. If you ignore this, the sub and bass will fight, and your drop will feel powerful in your room and messy everywhere else. If it sounds boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 HE. Subtle. Next, add saturator, or roar if you have it, but stock saturator is totally fine. Drive maybe 3 to 8 dB. Soft clip on. This is your character. Then auto filter for movement. Set the rate to sync, maybe 1/4 or 1/8. In A, keep the filter movement subtle. In B, we'll push it more. Finally, utility. This is where you can widen the mid layer, something like 120 to 160%. But remember, you widen mids, not sub. If you're not sure, don't widen yet. We'll come back once the core is working. Now we're ready for the main concept, creating A and B contrast using 3 simple contrast knobs. Think like a coach for a second. You're aiming for weight versus definition, not quiet versus loud. A is cleaner and leaner. B is denser and rougher. But the sub stays dependable. Contrast knob number 1. Low mid energy, roughly 80 to 200 HE. This is where heaviness often lives in DNB. Not the pure sub, the meat. This is the part that makes the bass feel like it has shoulders. On your bass bus, at EQ 8, create a bell around 120 HE. Now automate it. In A, leave it at 0 dB, or even pull it down 1 dB if it's already thick. In B, boost it just a little, like plus 1 to plus 2 dB. That's it. And yes, that small move can be the difference between nice loop and drop. Quick teacher note, If your kick's main thump is around 50 to 65 Hz, boosting 120 can add weight without stealing the kick's punch. That's why this works so well. Contrast knob number 2, harmonics and grit. This is perceived loudness and aggression. It's the part of the bass that your ear can actually grab onto, especially at low listening volume. On the bass bus, at a saturator. In A, set drive around 2 to 4 dB. In B, push it to 5 to 8 dB. Keep soft clip on so you don't get nasty surprise peaks. If it gets harsh, put in a Q8 after the saturator and do a gentle dip somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. Only if needed. The point is to get thicker, not fizzy. Contrast knob number 3. Rhythmic density. DNB contrast is often space versus pressure. In A, you might leave a little more breathing room around the snare. In B, and a couple of extra pickup notes, like short 16ths leading into the snare, or little call and response fills at the end of every two bars. Here's a simple approach. Duplicate your section bass MIDI into B, and in B only add two extra short notes somewhere tasteful. Maybe every two bars, or a one bar variation every four bars. That's classic. Now, let's talk sub-strategy, because this is where beginners usually mess it up. The safest option. Keep the sub-notes identical in A and B. Let the mid-bass and processing create the excitement. That alone can sound extremely professional. If you want something slightly spicier, in B you can add one occasional sub-octave hit, like one octave down at the start of every eight bars. Keep it short, and check your headroom. But do not rewrite your entire sub pattern for B unless you really know what you're doing. Inconsistent sub is the fastest way to make B feel weaker, even if it's louder. Now we clean the low end with sidechain. On the bass bus, add a compressor. Turn on sidechain, choose the kick track as input. Set ratio to 4:1. Attack around 5 to 15 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. Listen for the feeling. Kick hits, bass makes space, and the whole groove feels like it locks. Now arrange it. Make your drop a 16 bars. Drop B another 16 bars right after. In A, keep it restrained. Less saturation, less filter movement, less low mid boost, slightly fewer bass hits. Let the drums carry the groove. In B, bring in the weight. Add that 120 Hz lift. Push the saturator drive. Increase filter movement. Add a couple fills. To sell the transition into B, use one of these, a one-bar drum fill, a snare roll, a tiny silence cut like an eighth note right before B hits, or a reverse cymbal into the downbeat. You're basically telling the listener, new chapter starting now. Now, I want you to do a quick low-end audit, because this is the kind of habit that makes your tracks translate. Loop one bar of and one bar of B back-to-back. First check, mono. Put a utility on the bass bus and set width to 0% temporarily. If B suddenly collapses and doesn't feel bigger anymore, then you were relying too much on stereo width. Fix it by reducing unison, reducing detune, or narrowing the mid layer. Second check, quiet volume. Turn your monitors way down, like almost whisper level. If you can't tell where B starts anymore, you don't need more sub. You need more mid-range cues, meaning harmonics. That's usually somewhere in the 200 to 800 Hz area. You can get that from saturation, or from a parallel grit return that doesn't touch the low end. And here's another coaching trick. Pick one anchor frequency that stays consistent across A and B. Usually that means your sub-fundamental level stays steady, and you only change the meat band. That prevents the classic beginner problem, where one bass note sounds massive and the next one sounds like it vanished. Also, pay attention to kick and sub-note choices. If your kick is really strong at, say, 55 Hz, and your sub-fundamental is constantly living right there, sometimes the cleanest fix is not EQ. It's changing the bass note by a semitone or two, or choosing a different root, so the kick and sub aren't constantly sitting on the exact same strongest frequency. Now, common mistakes to avoid. Don't change the sub too much between A and B. Keep it dependable. Don't boost 50 to 80 Hz on the mid bass. That's sub territory and it causes mud and phase problems. Don't over distort everything. Heavy doesn't mean destroyed. Add harmonics, then shape with EQ. Don't stereo widen the low end. Keep everything under about 120 Hz mono. And don't make B bigger by only turning it up. Make it different. Texture, density, movement, harmonics. Mini practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 32 bar drop. A 16 bars, B is 16 bars. Then in B, do exactly 3 changes. 1. On the bass bus EQ, at plus 1.5 dB at 120 Hz. 2. On the bass bus saturator, add plus 3 dB drive. 3. Add two extra bass notes in the MIDI, small fills. Then a slash B test the transition by looping bars 15 to 17. Your goal is that B feels heavier, but your master isn't suddenly jumping like crazy. Finally, export a quick WAV and listen on phone speakers. You should still hear the bass character in B, even if the true sub isn't as audible. That's how you know your harmonics are doing their job. Recap to finish. To create low-end contrast between A and B in drum and bass, you keep the sub mono and consistent, you high-pass the mid-bass, so it doesn't fight the sub, and you make B feel bigger using small boosts in the low mids, more harmonics through saturation, and slightly more rhythmic density and movement. Then you sidechain to the kicks of the low-end punches instead of smearing. If you tell me what style you're aiming for, like liquid, rollers, jungle, or neuro-ish, and your root note, I can suggest a specific A and B bass recipe with some exact automation targets that match that vibe.